Former Newcastle United defender, you see him on Fox, Warren Barton joining us now. Warren, how are you?
Very well, my friend. Very well. Just been interested looking at that Champions League game, watching the game, and then obviously getting ready for another big one tomorrow. So, yeah, very good. Nice to hear your voice again.
Yeah, you too, Warren. All right, let's just start off. First 30 minutes, I thought Chelsea looked exceptional here, and maybe, I don't know if I like using the word unlucky, but, boy, it sure seemed like a prime time to get a second goal.
Yeah, I think when you start a game that well against a giant like Real Madrid, you have to take your chances. And maybe a word clinical would be something that I would use. They had really good opportunities, Timo Werner in particular. The movement was excellent. Thomas Tuchel's tactics were spot on. The way he used Azpilicueta and Christian Pulisic as well. They was rampant. Every time they looked forward, they looked like it was going to score. But unfortunately, when you're playing against royalty of the Champions League, they find a way to get back into the game. And what a wonderful goal by Benzema as well. And that just shows you what they have, that aura, and they feel a divine right to go to a Champions League final. And that's a culture of the football club and the soccer club. So Chelsea, as I said, when you have that chance and you have a team on the rack, you've really got to, you know, at least get one or two. But I think if you were to say to the Chelsea squad and the manager beforehand, you're going to come away with a 1-1 draw, scoring away from home, which counts as a second goal, they would have took it. But their performance in the first 35, 40 minutes was superb.
Former Newcastle United defender Warren Barton joining us. So let's stay on that first 30 minutes for a second here. And Chelsea, as you mentioned, looked exceptional. Is this a moment here where it took maybe Zinedine Zidane a little while to get this figured out? Because they looked in between trying to press and then maybe drop off. They looked like they had a hard time kind of just figuring out Chelsea at that moment, that first 30 minutes.
Yeah, and Chelsea was very composed on the ball. Janino in midfield, number five, he was always available and find the simple pass, whether it was Mason Mount, whether it's Christian Pulisic and them little girls, and N'Golo Kante was sensational. And it just took, you know, you've got to remember as well that midfield three of Casemiro, Modric and Cruz have been together a long time, but they are, apart from maybe Casemiro, a little bit older in their legs. So maybe that initial movement and passing just caught them unaware. But once they tightened that up a little bit and Marcelo started to tuck in across and try and occupy Christensen and Azpilicueta, it relieved a little bit more pressure on that left-hand side. So again, Zidane is, you know, Glenn, we've been in this business a long, long time. He doesn't get the credit he deserves. I think we bang the drum so much about Pep Guardiola, and rightly so, and Jurgen Klopp, but they haven't done what he's done to win three continuously and to go back to Real Madrid and win a title when they was really drifting along and take this team with Hazard that looks half the player he was when he was at Chelsea, and again, be, you know, virtually top of the league, getting into another final. He's a wonderful coach. I had the pleasure of being with him. I played against him when he was in Los Angeles with Real Madrid, and you know, it's quite amusing, really. I was with a friend of a friend, and he was talking about Pep reinventing the game and Klopp with his heavy metal. He said, "I just like winning trophies." That was it. That was it, and it was about winning games and winning trophies and finding out about, you know, like you've said there, just adjusting a little bit. I wouldn't say on the fly, but his soccer IQ is so high that he just knows that he can change a game within a game. And that's what he did in this game. And Chelsea in the second half was nullified. And maybe a little bit of their mindset was, well, we've got to go away from home. Let's just see this game out. But for me, Zidane is brilliant because he just, whatever game he's in, he finds a way normally. And I know people are going to say not always. But normally, he does understand how to win trophies and win games. And that's not a bad habit to have.
Let's talk about Christian Pulisic. Scored a wonderful goal. Seemed to get a lot of the ball in behind that wonderful Real Madrid midfield that you just mentioned. Really had some spectacular moments in the first half where, man, he just seemed like maybe one pass away from it or just waited a pass just that little bit too far. But still produced the road goal.
Yeah, I mean, he's a player. Me and Eric Ronaldo, when we was at Fox together and see Christian playing a Champions League again for Dortmund against Real Madrid, and he had a sensational 25 minutes. And that was really the benchmark for him. And we've seen a lot of games where he's played that well, and the injuries that he's had and the pace of the game in the Premier League has caught Christian out a little bit. And also the competitive nature of the squad and rotating is something that you have to be mindful of in the Premier League. It is cutthroat. But there's no doubt he's a talented player. He's not potential. He's a player. You know, I think we get thrown around, and I heard a couple of the commentators say he's got good potential. He's a top class player, and now he needs to be more consistent and obviously be away from injuries, because you know you don't play at the level that he's played at and consistently to understand. But he had a good, you know, soccer brain today. When he was finding the ball, he was always on the turn and doing what he does best, running at people. The first thing he did was positive. He turned, he went at people. A couple of times, maybe a lack of movement from Werner or a heavy weight of pass was a bit too much for Christian. But the little Dutch header for the goal, for the chance for Werner was excellent. His movement was good. You know, he's putting in tackles against Marcelo and playing and running away from Marcelo. So, you know, there's no doubt about what Christian can do. And he's going to be now a regular Champions League player. And that's great credit to him and his attitude and his potential and his ability now. So he's put all that together in recent years. And this has been a challenging time for him as well. But he'll grow from this. And he looks now when he comes on that he's got a point to prove. And you need to do that when you want to be a big time player. Every time you play, it must be an important game. Where I think in the past, it's maybe I'm still learning. Now he's old enough now to realise that the spotlight's there, and he should thrive in that element, because he's, as I said, a very, very good player.
I think he's fought through a lot of these challenges, whether it's with a coach, whether it's injuries. I think he's fought through some of these challenges wonderfully. Do you think he gets a little bit of an unfair shake? You know, it's always the American, right? Because he's an American, does he get a little bit of an unfair shake? I don't look at him as an American. I just look at him playing the game as good as anybody else out there.
Yeah, no, I think, Glenn, we do. I think we look at him as a player getting a bit of unfair criticism because we feel he's a good player, but that's the nature. And if he has a bad game, because of his levels being so high, us in the business and maybe a played, we want him to be that high all the time. I think it's the American media that, you know, straight away, oh, it's an American goal and Lexi, oh, the Americans. That's gone, really. That you shouldn't be banging the drum. He's a regular Premier League player and a regular Champions League player. I think that's in the past when we maybe see other players doing that and getting to a Champions League. For me now, you've got to break that mindset and say you expect him to play. You expect him to be in Champions League. You expect him to be a regular, not, hey, let's wave the flags, the Americans scored a goal. I think them days have gone. You've got so many good young players now, you know, Weston McKennie, Tyler Adams, that are playing regular at a high level, demanding respect. And, you know, people like Brad Friedel and Eric and John Harkes were going way, way back, and Clint Dempsey. You know, maybe then it was a little bit the Americans, but them guys went out there and made everybody respect players, American players, because they're the ones pioneers, that went out there.
Pioneers, for sure.
Yeah, they was definitely pioneers to go forward. And then this conveyor belt of young, talented players that we have. So it amuses me a little bit when I see it. Even on my own network is like, we've got to say about Christian, he's American, he's doing this. Expect him to do it. Don't you know, be happy and put a carnival out that he's played in a game. He's a top-class player, so he should be playing. And that's when the scrutiny comes, when he has an indifferent game. And like you said, some people think it's unfairly, but that's the nature and that's how we judge him now, of being a top-class player. He's not a young 15, 16, 17-year-old boy anymore. He's a man, and he's proved that, and he'll want it. I think if you ever speak to him about what he wants to have that mark on his back. He wants to say, yeah, I'm a top player and I'm going to get judged week in, week out, because that's what makes you better. That's what made me play 450 games in the top league, is that you want to be challenged. And he's no doubt he's able to do that.
No question. How about some quick thoughts before we move on, just about the opening 2 weekends of Major League Soccer? Certainly it was exciting. It's good to see people back in stadiums, all that. But from what you saw on the field?
I thought the level of games was good. I thought the quality, considering some of these teams have not had so many preseason. You said about, you know, Houston, and I was listening to your game that you commentated on, and, you know, teams that have, you know, only played USL teams, not being able to come across and play higher level teams. So I think the level of games was good. The goals was sensational, and it's always good for one of your superstars, you know, Chicharito, to start scoring goals, and I think that's important for him. I think it's important for the league. And as I said, it's great that, if you like, a Galaxy are unbeaten. You know, Minnesota have had a bit of a wake-up call. They've gone out and splashed the bucks again. You know, my friend Adrian Heath has gone out there as well. So I think all being around, Glenn, it was a real encouraging time, because, you know, the way the season ended, And now it's all the expectation and the hype, but the goals was good. The entertaining was good. There were so many good games and not too many clean sheets. So that's always a positive. So I think it was a really encouraging start to the season, and hopefully it continues.
All right. As someone who played in the Premier League, Newcastle United and soccer-crazed Northern England, okay, your take on the Super League and the response from the supporters and what they did in maybe being the gatekeepers of the English game to a degree?
Yeah, I think it was pure arrogance, pure greed, and particularly self-centered when you're thinking that people are going through a hard time in the pandemic. To think you can go and have a private meeting and in this climate expect people just accept it. I think it was a huge wake-up call for the owners. I don't think they did it, and this may sound hypocritical, but in a way of being disrespectful. I think the owners that you're speaking about there, particularly, you know, not really from the UK or in that market, that they didn't quite understand. Well, all they're trying to do is look after their club, earn more money, challenge at the highest level. So they're businessmen. So they're trying to help their business. Little did they know about the heritage and history and tradition of English football is that, you know, that's something that they're not going to tolerate. And when you see, I mean, we've had the problems Newcastle with our owner running it as a business, not really putting the money in. It's frustrated the fans no end. And now you've seen the likes of Arsenal, Chelsea, Man City, Manchester United and Liverpool feel exactly the same. I really felt for the coaches. I felt for the players because they was took by surprise. But the backlash that come from that has been overwhelming. And obviously it was changed around in 72 hours, you know, and even the others now, Barcelona, AC Milan, they've all had a bit of humble pie. So, you know, I put it on social media, football won, soccer won. It wasn't now about the business. And we've been in the business long enough, Glenn, that we've noticed calling games, how hard it is without the fans there. Without our job, it motivates us. It motivates the players. It makes coaches make different decisions with player fans getting involved. And to think that you can just take that away just purely for money. But, you know, I want to stay in this league, but when I go away for 5 or 6 weeks, I'm going to go and earn nearly $500 million, and you can't do anything about it. I think it was pure arrogance. And as I said, it's great that it's been put to the side. Do I think it's dead and buried? No, I think it'll pop its ugly head up.
They're
maybe
gonna,
an 18.
They're going to storm the castle again because they're looking at NBA, NFL, mm-hmm. and Major League Baseball, who makes more money than European soccer, and they're going, we want a piece of that action. So
it is about
really
money.
Really interesting to see what happens mm-hmm. in the future.
Yeah, yeah. I wish me and you got a piece of the pie, my friend. Eh?
No, you and me for the love of the game.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know that was the nice little spike from that whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I think for me, when it comes to Manchester United, and I'll just use them as one instance, when their fans know, and they know it clearly, that 1.8, you know, billion has been taken out in profits back to the Glazer family and not reinvested in the club. I think it was a backlash against that as well. You know, because these fans are educated, they're on top of it. And, you know, the Glazers may not know who Duncan Edwards is, but the fans know if they're reinvesting in the history and the tradition of the club.
I don't know. I don't think they know who Paul Popper is, do they?
Probably.
I know Tom Brady. That's about it.
That's all right. In Newcastle, I know who Warren Barton is. Warren, thank you as always for coming on. Great to see you and great to hear from you. And thanks for all the insight tonight.
Absolute pleasure, my friend. Take care. Thank you.
All right, the one and only Warren Barton. He's been on the show many times. We appreciate him coming on. Former Newcastle United defender. You'll catch him on Fox as an analyst on various leagues. All right, we'll take a break here. We have more to come. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They are getting soccer. All you have to do is call them at 713-780-3776, and we will continue on. We'll take a break.